Have a listen to this. Now, keep the volume of what you just heard in mind and compare it with this. Now, hopefully you noticed that the second one was a lot louder than the first. But that wasn't us. The insect that made that sound did it itself by building an amplifier from a leaf. And Natasha Mahatre has discovered how.
So these creatures are called tree crickets. They're about a centimetre in length. They're really beautiful. I mean, most of us see crickets from the pet store, which look kind of brown and a bit cockroach-like. Tree crickets are really pretty. They have translucent wings. They have long antennae. They're small green things. And there's tree cricket species more or less all over the world. The ones that we're working on come from India. All tree crickets do this really amazing thing, which is that they sing to attract mates. They put up their wings, which are resonant, rub them together, set them into vibration, and produce really beautiful tonal sounds. That's what you can hear most summer nights. These sounds are heard by the females, who can use them to identify males of their own species from other males and find the males. These tree crickets also do this amazing other thing, which is that they make an aid that helps them be louder than they would be on their own.
Really? What do they do?
They make a thing called a baffle. A baffle is, for a tree cricket, very simply, a hole cut in a leaf that they sing from. So they place their wings directly against this hole and sing from inside it, and this makes them louder.
Is that a bit like you see people walking around in the old days on Hollywood sets with a megaphone, which was basically a cone with the end chopped off, and they shout into it? Is it sort of doing something similar? They're creating an amplifier from a leaf to make themselves louder?
It's a bit similar. So I'll try and explain the physics as simply as I can. So if you can imagine the wings as a board that's vibrating back and forth, every time the board moves forward, it produces high pressure in front of it. And behind it, it produces low pressure. And this is essentially what sound is. It's changes in pressure. But what will happen is that the high pressure and the low pressure will meet at the edge of the board. When they meet with each other, they'll cancel each other out. And this is something we call acoustic short circuiting. Now, the smaller the board is, the more of the sound that's produced is short circuited. If you can somehow prevent these two, high pressure and the low pressure, from meeting each other, then you can prevent acoustic short circuiting. And that's essentially what's happening when a cricket puts itself in the hole in a leaf. What happens is that the front face of the wing is effectively acoustically separated from the back face of the wing, and they end up being louder.
And how does the cricket find the leaf and the hole in the first place?
There's a big secret in that. So one of the things that we did was to see whether there are different baffle designs. And it turned out, if you model this, you find that some baffles perform a lot better than others. And the baffle that performs the best is made with the largest leaf, with a hole that's exactly the size as the wings, and placed dead center in the leaf.
Right, so next question then. Given that that's the optimal solution, what proportion of the crickets actually opt for that?
It depends on the situation, but when we did an experiment in which we gave 19 crickets the choice between a small leaf, which wouldn't make such a good baffle, and a large leaf, which would make a great baffle, 15 crickets made a baffle, and every single one of them made a baffle in the large leaf. They made a baffle in the large leaf with the optimally sized hole, and they got pretty close to the center. So all of the crickets seem to know how to make an optimal baffle.
Now, given that crickets sing at night, they're therefore able to work out the size of a leaf, discriminate between leaves that are bigger and smaller, and then having worked out the size of the leaf and made a choice, they're then working out where the middle is. How on earth are they doing that?
Yeah, they are doing that. We have no idea. There may be different ways in which they're doing this. One is to walk along the edge of the leaf. The other is to use these really beautiful long antennae that they have to touch the edges of the leaf to see if the edges are further away on one leaf than another one, and, you know, sort of using them to center themselves in the middle of the leaf. But to be honest, the answer is we don't know how they're doing it yet.
How much louder is the baffled cricket compared with a non-baffled cricket? In other words, what sort of advantage, a sonic advantage, do they gain through doing this?
a cricket that's in an optimal baffle will be 4 times as loud as a cricket that's on its own.
This completely changes our view of insects, doesn't it? Because we mostly think of insects as sort of dumb automatons. But here you've got very simple organisms. They're making a sequence of decisions informed by their own measurements in order to achieve an outcome. And that's really quite striking.
Absolutely. It has been a long-held view that invertebrates are stereotyped. And vertebrates, mammals, birds, etc., are extremely clever. And we've been having to change this view. I mean, I think one of the first things that really jolted this was when they found that octopuses can make tools. They were making all sorts of tools. Now, if you think about it a little bit, an octopus is a mollusk. It's the same as a snail. So really, we can't hold on to this idea anymore that invertebrates are simpler animals. They're just different from us. And we're absolutely going to have to look very closely at how insects behave in order to be able to appreciate what's going on that's not immediately apparent on the surface.
Absolutely incredible. Who would have thought that insects could be acoustic masterminds? That was Natasha Mahatre from the University of Toronto, and the study describing that discovery came out in the journal eLife.